don't know what my voice is going to sound like today, but hopefully not as bad as it sounds to me. I mean, I'm hoping that this little sore throat I feel coming on is just simply a matter of the weather changes here in Texas, because apparently we are going to skip fall entirely and go straight into winter. I don't know. But hopefully you can understand me just fine. Let's jump right into it this week with our lovely, lovely pop culture and start with Real Housewives of the Potomac. You know, my guiltiest pleasure of them all. I don't know what to make of this season. I'm going to be honest with you. This last episode caught us back up with all of this new drama, with all of these allegations that all of a sudden everyone is very uncomfortable with Candace's husband. Now, I don't know what to make of that, because now the little things he says is all being taken as flirty and making them uncomfortable and making them feel some type of way. And I'm not sure about that, because it seems like all of the husbands have had their moments, except maybe Ray. I don't think I've ever seen Ray do it. But all of the husbands at some point has been friendly or flirty or made some little comments. So I'm not sure at this point if it's really anything that he's doing wrong, or if, as she's alleging, it's just them all trying to make a storyline. I'm not actually sure, but the whole thing is just bizarre to me, to be honest. All of a sudden, everybody's bringing up Giselle saying it made her uncomfortable to have him want to talk to her at some point when they were filming the reunion and it was in her room alone. And then suddenly Ashley's talking about some DM he sent her, which really seemed like, when you got to the bottom of it, it was not a DM. It was simply him responding to her story, which, as we know, if you respond to a story on Instagram or Facebook or what have you, instead of it just being a simple comment, it goes to your messages. So that doesn't really count to me as you were in my DMs, the way they're all making it seem. Now, true enough, they did bring up that supposedly some friend allegedly is saying that he said some inappropriate things to her as well. That person is not there speaking on that or showing that. So I don't know if that was just to further along the narrative. But honestly, the whole thing is kind of uninteresting to me. I'm not going to lie. Ashley and this whole divorce from Michael Darby, you make it seem like you're very shocked that this story hit the tabloids. You don't know how they got a hold to it before the two of you were ready to announce that you were separated. But we watched you talk to several people on the show. So you're telling me that all of those people who talk a lot, you don't know how it got out. You think all of these people that you're talking to are the type of people who would never mention anything. You're talking Giselle and Robin and Charisse and the Madame. You spoke to everyone about this, and it's not like you were all in some private area. There were times you were in public places. So to say we're surprised that it got out before you were ready to get out is a little preposterous to me, but okay. Either way, Ashley is now separated and they are in the process of divorcing. She and Michael Darby are going their separate ways. Not that any of us were very surprised by that, considering how much of their sex life and their past has been brought forward on this show. From the fact that apparently they started off where they would do lots of sharing in the bedroom with others, to her having children and deciding she no longer wanted to spread herself with others as they had been doing, and him not wanting to make that change. Surprisingly, they're separated? No, we're not surprised, especially seeing as how many times we have seen allegations that Michael is really more interested in other guys, including Juan, Robin's ex. So them going their separate ways surprises no one. Them trying to say they're going to buy a house together before the divorce is just weird. And him wanting to handle everything without lawyers, according to her, is one of those mistakes that she could possibly look back on and regret. Because when it comes to divorce, things get nasty. All of a sudden, he wants to make this, let's just sit down, discuss it, hatch it out, blah, blah, blah. That's not the way that's going to work. Because you have no idea if he's really going to tell you where all the money is, what actually should be shared. You don't want to break it down like that. Let's get the lawyers involved. Let's make sure this is a fair write-off, especially since the two of you have children together. Let's make sure we are doing this in a manner that makes sense and in a manner that does not come back and bite you on the ass later. You know? But Robin and Juan, since this show has started, I think when this show started, they were already divorced, weren't they? It's been so many seasons. I'm pretty sure they were already divorced. I could be wrong. But through the course of the seasons, they started dating again. They got engaged again. This seems like it is the longest engagement known to man because they still don't have a wedding date. They have got another house together. And supposedly, now she's trying to start off the process to get the wedding on the books. Her concern is she wants to go and sit down with a lawyer and get a prenup in place. Now, I understand there was a prenup for the first wedding, but by the time they got divorced, that prenup was not even needed because they were broke. This time around, she wants to make sure there's another prenup. Now, the first time around, he was a professional ball player. He was making money. This time around, he is not a professional ball player. And according to her, she is making more money now. I'm assuming she means from the show and also from her hat line and some other ventures she has. So she wants to make sure she is protected. And I understand that. I really do. I don't understand why so many people are against it, because if it was perfectly fine to have a prenup when he had more money, then why is there a problem about her wanting a prenup now that she has more money? If it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander, don't you think? Why are we so one-sided that it's okay if men want prenups? It's not okay if women want them. As much as Robin can sometimes be very odd and irksome, this makes perfect sense, because if she's making most of the money right now and their first divorce was allegedly because of all of his interactions with women that were not his wife, then yes, she should definitely have a prenup in place. Because after all this hard work to get from bankrupt to financially stable and rising, you don't want to leave to chance that you could lose all of that because you didn't put the right steps in place ahead of time, you know? Anyway, your girl Mia decided to plan a girl's trip to try to get everyone to Miami. Why? I don't know. Because you know, with every girl's trip on the Potomac, it always ends up in somebody fighting, some kind of drama, somebody's crying, somebody screaming, something. But she planned this girl's trip. What I don't understand is every time that show does a girl's trip, wherever they go, they end up in these huge, gorgeous mansions, but there's never enough bedrooms. Me, personally, I am never a fan of going on trips where you know there's not enough bedrooms, but you're inviting way more people than bedrooms. That's probably all fine and good when we're young and we don't care. When we're grown, nobody wants to do that anymore. Especially when you're not that close. Because some of them are kind of close, like the Green-Eyed Bandits, Giselle and Robin. Some of them barely tolerate each other, you know, like Charisse and, you know, the Mandam. But I don't understand how, is it the person planning it or is it the show's producers? Because I'm sure they have some hand in choosing these mansions where it never fails. There's a fight or a disagreement or a misunderstanding once they get there and the bedrooms are being assigned. It's always some people are very happy with their rooms and some people are not. On this particular trip, you have Karen, who is perfectly happy with her spacious little digs and her own bathroom. And then you have people like Charisse, who is on her phone already trying to find a hotel because she's upset her bedroom does not have a private bathroom. Then you have Giselle and Robin, who are upset that every single trip that they all go on, they always stick those two in a room together. I get it. Everyone thinks, well, they're best friends, but that doesn't mean every single trip they always want to be in the same room together. Just like everyone else, maybe they want their own space. When you're on vacation, sometimes, I hate to say it, especially if you're an introvert like I am, there are times when you really just want to get away from everybody. You may love these people, you may love them to death, and still need a moment to breathe. A moment to reset. I've gone on many a trip where, okay, I've gotten to my max of how much emotional interaction I can have, and I need to go back to the room and reset. That's not anything against anyone. It's just a problem, I guess, or a concern, I guess, I would have as an introvert. My husband is an extrovert. I don't think it bothers him one way or the other. He can just talk and talk and talk and socialize and socialize. But for some of us, we like a little me time. So I understand why they're a little frustrated that they're always put in the same room. But whatever. I do find it a little interesting that the preview for next week shows your girl Mia, who is throwing this party, is literally throwing a drink on Wendy. So we shall see how that breaks down on this next episode to see what caused that, how that happened, and all of that. But like I said, every single trip, somebody's fighting, somebody's doing something. I mean, Candace hasn't even arrived, so she doesn't know yet that your girl Ashley has messed with her room assignment. Why? I don't know. But she did. So we'll see how that all plays out. Maybe it'll work out fine since Charisse is trying to leave anyways. But we'll see. I am filming on a Wednesday. So tonight will be the Married at First Sight, Where Are They Now? You know, I don't know when they started doing that. It used to just be we would have the reunions and that would be the end of it. Luckily, they started wrapping it up again with the Where Are They Nows, because some of these couples will say yes on decision day. By the reunion, they're not together. Or sometime by the time the reunion actually airs, they're not together. Now that they do the Where Are They Nows, there's all these months gaps where they all have to keep their social media turned off or private because they're not supposed to tell us anything, I guess, for ratings sake. But all the nice little gossip bloggers have also done as much research as possible. And when the show ended, what, three couples said they were going to stay married. By the very next day, Justin and Alexis broke it off, changed their minds, which I understood because he was driving me crazy, asking over and over and over, was she sure? And did she die? Did she regret her decision? And blah, blah, blah. We're not going to get into that because between Justin and Alexis, they both kind of annoy me for different reasons and they shouldn't have been together. But the understanding after the reunion was that the only people still together was Stasha and Nate and Miguel and Lindy. From all of the gossip mags, if they're correct, tonight's episode is going to say that as of now, none of the couples for this latest season is together. I saw a chart online a couple of days ago that broke down how many seasons of Married at First Sight we have had and how many people are still married from each season. Based on that chart, and if it is accurate, that means the show is now only at 20% or so of this working. And that makes you a little concerned. Do they need to go back to the drawing board on this show? Because if you're only having a 20% success rate, this is not working. You know, a lot of us for the past few seasons have wondered if some of these people are being matched because you really think they would make a great marriage, or if you think they would really make great drama, they would really make great TV, you know? But I guess it's only up to the producers and the creators to decide on that, right? We shall see tonight who is really together and all of that jazz. If you did not catch it on Sunday, I think it was, there was a Robin Roberts special with the one and only Michelle Obama to help promote her latest book, The Light We Carry, which, of course, if you're an Amazon Prime member, you got that book the day it dropped. Because, you know, some of us may have a small book problem and a small Amazon Prime problem, but whatever. And because I love her books, I, of course, pre-ordered the book on Audible and pre-ordered the hard copy because I'm a weird person where there are certain books I really wanted in my hand. But based on certain people, I sometimes also want to hear some of that book in their voice if it's an option. Her last book, I bought it as a hard copy, ended up going back and downloading the Audible version so that I could hear it in her voice. This particular book was apparently done right over, she started this book after the pandemic when everyone was very isolated, everyone was very uncertain on where things were going, and everyone was just feeling very uncomfortable. She wrote this book to help you through the uncertain times. My book came in. I'm so ready to dive in and see where it all goes. But if you watch the Robin Roberts special, it gives you a little insight on the course of the book, but it gives you a little special something with showing her at her home, opening up, sitting down with some of her closest girlfriends, because we all know how difficult it is once we reach a certain age to find women we trust completely, that we talk about freely everything. Imagine if you're also married to the President of the United States and you want someone to vent to about, say, your husband dropping dirty clothes on the floor, but you know because of who you are, you can't trust everyone or it's going to be all over the tabloids the next morning. So it's very important that we are able to find really close female friends that we can trust, that we can confide in, because there are times when, as much as we all love telling our husbands everything or our significant others everything, there are still those times we want that good girlfriend, that good girl chat. You may have girlfriends you've known forever, and girlfriends that you've only known since you were become in certain circles. You know, you may have the women you travel with or the women that you met while you were parenting young children or what have you. Those friendships become even more precious to you as you get older, and some of those friendships go away and you don't have as many quantity, but you have so much more quality. And she was introducing us to a lot of her girlfriends and the way they sit and they talk and the things they bring to each other. And it helps you understand even more what this book will mean for you. Speaking of friendships, you know, I debated whether I wanted to talk about this or not. And it's an important topic, but it's a difficult topic. If you have been on social media lately, you have seen the name Shanquella Robinson a lot. She was a young 25-year-old entrepreneur. She was running a hair business that seemed to be thriving. She also had a clothing business. If you look at her social media accounts, she was a young woman with a lot of things going for her, a lot of things she had accomplished, a lot of things that she was still trying to do. She went on a vacation to Cabo with her close friends, and I use that term very loosely. She's from North Carolina. She went on this trip, and within 24 hours of her arriving, she was gone. Now, these so-called friends called her mother and told her that she had alcohol poisoning. Luckily, her mother did not believe this because she says that none of their stories seemed to match. So she made sure to get a private investigator, to get an autopsy done, to do all the things. She made all the phone calls, and they found out that her daughter died because her neck was broken. She had some spinal injuries as well, things like that. Now, you went to Cabo with all these friends, yet these friends left Cabo and came back, and they left your body there. If these are your real friends, shouldn't at least one or two of them stayed to help figure this all out if it was truly an accident? But someone must have either felt guilty enough to let a video leak, or they somehow shared it with someone who maybe wasn't even there who let it leak. I don't know. But video has since gotten out, and that video is all over Twitter, all over different social platforms, showing one of these girls who was a supposed friend beating this girl until she's on the floor in the hotel room. It really appears in the video, which it's very difficult to watch, so I'm really warning you, you really probably don't want to watch it. It looks like she's beating her, and she doesn't appear to be clothed, but the video is not the clearest. My point is simply that she's not fighting back. She's being beat by a so-called friend. And there are other friends you can hear in the background, which means multiple people are in this room. Just because none of you are also hitting doesn't make any of you less complicit. Because why did none of you try to stop it, try to help her, try to do anything? And it makes me very confused about, was this the plan all along? You went all the way to Cabo on this trip as friends. Did you plan from the beginning that you were going to do that? Or did something happen prior to the video that made you just decide you were doing this? And then it makes you wonder, was it always your intention to kill her? Or was it your intention to just, you wanted to fight her for whatever reason? And of course, everyone's immediate thought is, this had to be a jealousy thing. Was it jealousy because she was achieving her goals and the things she wanted in life? Or was this some guy that liked her that you like? We don't know. And we may never know the complete truth. But with that many people in that room, somebody is going to crack and tell what really happened. I know they all tried to stick to the original crap bullshit story when they were talking to her mother and to the authorities. But when it comes to if any charges are possibly made, somebody in that group is going to tell what happened to save themselves. But you can see what they're alleging is her best friend is kind of chuckling and videoing, saying, well, aren't you going to fight back? At least fight back. I don't know if she's not fighting back because she wasn't able to, or if she was just shocked that her so-called friends were doing this, or if she just didn't want to fight her friends. I don't know. But you killed her. And you left and you all came back. You do realize that's just not the end of it. I don't know if you thought, well, if we go to Mexico, nothing will happen. If we go to Cabo, if we go anywhere, we're okay. That's not the way that works. Because even if the authorities there don't do anything, you do realize somebody is going to do something to keep pursuing this to find out what happened to her. No one's just going to say, oh, well, you know, it happened in another country and we're all just going to let it go. That's not what's going to happen. Someone's going to keep going. And at least one of these guys has already kind of gotten a little nervous. So he did some stupid live video, which I think he thought was clearing him and only made him look worse. But like I said, you put that many people into a situation and people are going to talk. Even if they're not all talking to social media, they're talking to other people and the stories are going to keep coming out. So one way or the other, we're going to find out what really happened to this young lady. But right now, all we can do is pray for her parents and her family, her loved ones who have to deal with a loss of someone they should still have, that they lost to her so-called friends. And I know I'm supposed to say allegedly, but the video spoke for itself. Anyway, we're not even going to talk about my consistency with this podcast because, we talk about that a lot. So I'm going to work on that. I promise you. I am in the middle of reading this book called 101 Essays That Will Change the Way You Think. If you have not read it, I highly recommend it. It will give you a lot of insight to some of the things that you do, some of the decisions you make, including starting and stopping things that you know you need to do to become the person you want to be and the fears that you let limit you. You should definitely take a look at it if you're someone struggling to become the person that you truly dream of doing and being, you know? And also, I am going to give it one more shot to move the podcast to YouTube as well. It'll still be here on all the other platforms you're listening to, but I'm going to give it one more shot to also throw it on YouTube and see if we can increase the viewers that way and see what happens. So I have a few different goals on my plate, including growing my different platforms by certain timelines. So let's see what we can do. Okay. If you have any thoughts, have any questions, please, as always, drop me a line, drop me a comment down in whatever platform you're in. And if you want to keep up with all of my craziness, follow me on all of my social platforms, which are, of course, included in the info below. See you guys later.